Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
So today's title is Hope in Exile. And with everything that our family is going through right now, this was actually something that was really good for me to study and dive into this week and finish working on. So we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 29. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It actually has one of my favorite verses, and I'm sure you probably know what verse I'm going to be referencing this morning. But again, we are this morning continuing the story of the Bible, and we will be in the book of Jeremiah today, like I had said. So here's our question for this morning. Can we find hope in exile? So let's jump into Jeremiah 29:11, if you would stand as we read the word of God this morning. So Jeremiah 29:10-14, which says, "This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." You guys can take a seat. So the reality of biblical exile. So this is during the period where Judah was exiled to Babylon. Some of you probably are familiar with some of this. But why were they exiled to Babylon? So God allowed Babylon to capture and exile the Israelites as a consequence of their persistent disobedience. Kind of a common thing for the Israelites, right? Disobedience. Which we kind of laugh about that, but we're not much better at times, right? We can be kind of disobedient ourselves. So Scripture gives us three reasons why God kind of put them in exile. First, Sabbath breaking. So we look in 2 Chronicles 36. God has commanded Israel to let the land rest every seventh year. So for generations, they ignored this. So God says the 70 years of exile would make up for the Sabbath years the land had been denied. So it was very important, not just Sabbath for them, but Sabbath for the land, giving rest to the land. I don't know if we look at crops, but you know how they rotate crops? I don't know much about farming, but I do know that they rotate crops, right? Because if you don't, the land becomes unfertile, right? Am I right there? I'm not a farmer, but I'm pretty sure I'm right with it when it comes to that. But secondly, their idolatry, which is found in 2 Kings 21, 4-7. In particular, in other accounts as well. So it wasn't just in this account. But one of the kings placed carved idols inside the temple itself, in the very place where God said his name would dwell. It's kind of makes no sense for them to put idols right where God dwells. But when we think about it, don't we sometimes put our own idols in the place of God at times too? So if you notice, some of this applies to some of us today as well too. But the third thing was social justice in Jeremiah 7. God indicted them for oppressing the foreigner, the fatherless and the widow, and for shedding innocent blood. So their worship had become empty because their lives did not reflect God's justice. So this would have been a hard time for the Judeans, right? Because God was punishing them for the things that they had done. So let's think about what exile meant. So we think about that word, we don't really think too much about it, right? We think that they were taken captive. But there was more to this. Family members had been killed and they were torn apart. So families were killed and torn apart. Their homes and the temples would have been destroyed. They would have been dragged. And some scholars say marched 500 miles into land whose customs are completely different than what they were used to. So everything would have been different for them. They would have been totally unaware and unable to understand some of the things they would have been going through. And I think we have some people in our congregation that would kind of understand being ripped away from their families and having to deal with some of those things. As we think about it, it is too real in the world today. We see that so often in some of our countries. We see it in Haiti, right? Right? We see families being torn apart, right? We see families being torn apart in our own country, right? So, but this was not a short period of time during this. This was 70 years. So they may have felt probably pretty hopeless in this time. As we think about our title today, Hope in Exile, they probably felt pretty hopeless. But 70 years would have been a lifetime, right? A lot of us would have thought 70 years as being a lifetime. That means a lot of them not only would not never see the release from this exile, they would never even return to the place as well. They would die in captivity. That means babies would be born in Babylon, grandparents would die in Babylon. Many who heard Jeremiah's letter read for the first time would be buried in Babylon. They had to trust God even when the answer would not come in their lifetime. This is important because people misuse this verse. Not everyone will be freed or find freedom in the way they expect. Because when we look at that verse, Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and future." But in its original context, this was a collective promise to the people who would suffer, and many would die again before God would fulfill it. So this brings us back to the question, can we find hope in exile? So let's look at it this way. How do you reconcile being in this exile? Again, when we look at verse 11, God follows through with his promises, right? God follows through with his promises. When he makes a promise, he follows through. It may not be in the timing that we would like to see in this situation, right? 70 years is probably not the timing that a lot of them would have liked to have seen. So again, it's not in his time, in our timing. We may not even see it in our own lifetime, right? Even in our lives today, we may not see God's promises fulfilled in our lifetime. But God gave them hope of a plan. They didn't know the plan, but held on to that hope. So we also will face suffering in life. It may not have relief while we're here. But what's amazing is that even if we don't see it here, if we have Jesus in our hearts, we will one day. And I think sometimes we forget about that hope. Even though we're struggling and we're suffering on this earth, we sometimes forget about that hope. That we still have that in heaven. Even if we don't see the promise fulfilled on earth, we will see it in heaven. So God also gave them a way to live while they had to wait. So as we look earlier on, in Jeremiah 29, we look at Jeremiah 29:4-7, which says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters, increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. So notice what God does not say. God does not say, sit on your suitcase and wait, right? He's not telling them to sit and just wait for him. He doesn't say, fight, revolt, doesn't say to go against them. He doesn't say, assimilate and forget who you are. He doesn't say to come together and just forget who you are. God did not tell them to exile to give up. He also did not tell them to pretend that Babylon was their permanent home. Right? He still gave them hope that they would return to their home. He told them to live faithfully where he had placed them. Do we live faithfully where God has placed us at times? I think sometimes we get placed somewhere where we don't want to be, so then we don't want to do anything, right? We kind of would maybe want to be something like the Israelites that probably wanted to give up during this time. But God puts us in places for a reason, right? Even if it maybe is a place we don't really like at the time. But he places us there and wants us to be faithful during those times as well, even when we're in a very uncomfortable situation, just like the Israelites were. I don't know about you, but 70 years in exile, I don't think that'd be very much fun, right? But for God to tell them to live like this would have been hard, right? So he wanted them to live like they were still in Jerusalem, right? He wanted them to live for him, even in the hard times. And you got to think about it. That probably didn't come overnight. That probably took a lot of hard work for them to overcome all the things that happened to them coming into exile. It probably wasn't a short journey for them to become prosperous, right? It didn't come overnight. It probably took months, if not years, for them to do that. But over time, they began to thrive and prosper. Not because Babylon became Jerusalem, but because they obeyed God right where they were. Do we obey God right where we are? In our negative circumstances? When our families are divided? When our communities are divided? Do we isolate ourselves from that, or do we step into God's plan for that? Definitely easier to isolate ourselves, right? It's definitely easier to pull away from what God has for us instead of just stepping into it. And I'm sure maybe some of these Israelites probably did some of that as well, because it was probably easier just to be a part of that community instead of being separate, being different than that community. This is also calling for the church today, right? We are called to be holy, faithful, and distinct, but also present. Not just stuck in this building on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. We're to be present in our community and reaching out to people. Yeah, you need to be here because you need to be fed so we can be out there to witness to those people. But just coming here on Sunday, Wednesday night isn't what God wants from us. He wants us to be in our community witnessing and showing God's love. Right? Why wouldn't we want to share what God has done for us with everyone else? What amazing grace he's given us. Why would we not want to share that with others? the love that he's shown us, why would we not want to show others as well? We should ask ourselves, are we praying for our community? Are we serving our neighbors? Are we building healthy families and friendships? Are we bringing peace rather than adding to division? Are people able to see the character of Christ in us? That's a big one, I think. Because we can say we're Christians, but are we showing it? Because you can say it till you're blue in the face, but if you're not showing it, your words mean nothing, right? But think about those things today. Are you being that to people around you? I've seen some people in our congregation that are doing some of that. And I'm so amazed and so thankful that I've seen that. But there's so many of us that could still probably step up and do a little bit more, right? Me included. I'm preaching to myself today too. This isn't to condemn or make anybody feel bad. I'm right there with you. And I think each and every one of us could be better, right? When we think that we're good enough, then we probably need to start working even harder. We should never think that we've already made it. But there's so many other examples also of some people during this time of exile who stepped up. When we look at Daniel, for instance, the king placed Daniel in a high position. So we're looking at Daniel 2, 48 and 49. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him rule over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. So a lot of familiar names there, right? So there's a lot of things that happened during this exile to Babylon. A lot of men, a lot of people that stood up to what was wrong and stayed faithful to God. Daniel did not abandon his faith in order to serve in Babylon. He served faithfully without worshiping Babylon's gods. But remember, this is the same Daniel who earlier resolved not to defile himself with the king's food. His convictions did not prevent him from contributing. His convictions are what made him trustworthy. And when I was looking at that, that was something that really stuck out to me, is because he was so much about his convictions and making sure that he was doing what was right. It made him to be so trustworthy. And that's why the king was able to put him in charge of so many things, because he knew he could trust Daniel, because Daniel was committed to everything that he did. God's people may be in a different place, but they are never outside of God's reach. God can work through us in our workplaces, schools, neighborhoods, families, and communities. We may not be able to change everyone around us, but we can remain faithful to God within it. I've heard the saying, be in the world, but not of the world. We are supposed to be in this world, not of it, but in this world, shining God's light for everyone. Of course, there's much more examples of this throughout the Bible and throughout the Old Testament of people who were faithful to God during times that were not so easy for them. We'll look in 2 Kings 25, Jeremiah 52, and throughout Ezekiel, that we can look as well. God gave them hope of a plan at the beginning of the exile and followed through. Sometimes we want God to show us the entire plan, right? We want to be in control. We want to know what's happening next, right? I think as humans, that's kind of where our brains want to go. We want to see the whole plan out so that way we can prepare, right? We can prepare for everything. Just like a trip. You know, we go on vacation, we want to prepare for everything, right? We don't want to just hop in the car and, oh, well, hopefully we get where we need to and we have everything we need, right? You want to plan for that. Because what happens if you don't plan for a vacation? Normally it doesn't work out too well. I have a story about that. And I won't say it today because it's a longer story. But let's just say my grandparents like to go on vacation and not make reservations at hotels and hope they find one. And they usually would take our family with them and hope, and it drove my parents nuts. So just imagine the trouble that that would cause. But we as humans want to know God's plan. But would we be able to even understand his plan to begin with? Would we want to even know his plan? Because I think in some ways it probably would scare us to death if we saw God's plan for us. Because we would see all the hardship that we'd have to go through, all of the things that would create, would develop who we are. You know, we have to go through those hardships to develop our character, to develop who we are in Christ. If we don't have those things, what are we, right? We can't rely on God if we don't go through those things. We go through those hard times because we need God, right? We need him to come alongside us to help us through those things. So, again, you think about the world we live in, very hopeless, right? We think about the crises we have in our own nation, right? We prayed about it this morning too. Just some of the things that our government, some of the decisions they make, we scratch our head about. And you know, I think about that, and we need to continue to just pray for that. We can be up here complaining about it and everything, but that doesn't do any good. We need to pray. Pray for each other. Pray for these lovely people that we have in our congregation that bring their lovely little babies here that we love on. Pray for them. Let's pray for each and every one of us. Because even if we're not going through something similar to that, we have our own forms of exile, whether that be broken families, seasons of grief, difficult workplace, loneliness, financial hardship, illness, strained relationships, a season when God seems silent. Been there sometimes. These experiences can make us feel displaced, forgotten, or hopeless. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus meets us there. Our hope is not ultimately found in changed circumstances. Our hope is found in the risen Christ. Because Jesus rose again and died and rose again. Suffering does not have the final word. Death does not have the final word. Exile does not have the final word. God has the final word, right? So where can we find hope? As we face these challenges from time to time, where can we find hope? We remember that God is with us. First and foremost, we have to remember that God is with us, right? We have to remember that God is with us. Second, we have to seek the good of the place where God has put us. Sometimes we forget about the good because we focus so much on the bad that's around us. I think there's always some good that we can find even in the middle of the bad that we're facing. I know even in the hard times that we're facing, I see so many good things. I see amazing things with my younger boys, watching them learn, watching them be ornery and picking on people and running all over the place. So I still see good even in the times where it's not very good, right? We remain faithful while we're in these times of exile too. We patiently wait for what God has for us. Patience is a hard thing for us, right? Because we live in a society that patience is pretty thin, right? When we go through McDonald's, if we have to wait more than 2 minutes, we've waited too long, right? When they tell you to pull around because, you know, you have to wait for your chicken strips to get done, you know. We get frustrated with those things. But God wants us to be patient while we wait. And one of the biggest things I think that we forget is we need to stay connected with the people of God too. Stay connected with our brothers and sisters. We don't isolate ourselves. I've noticed in my life when I've isolated myself, that's when Satan attacks me the most. Is when I pull myself away from my fellow believers, my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's when Satan attacks me the most. And I think one of the things that gives us the most hope of anything is Jesus' return. Knowing that one day we don't have to worry about any of this. That the return of Jesus, that none of this has to happen anymore, right? Again, it brings us back to verse 11, where he already has plans for us. Plans are good for us, right? To prosper us, not to harm us, to give us hope in the future. He has our best interest, even when we don't see it. When our families are broken, when we feel separated from all of it, there is hope in him in those times of exile. So if you're in some kind of exile today, find your hope in him this morning. Again, maybe you feel separated from family. Maybe you're grieving. Maybe you even feel like an outsider. Or maybe you're even facing some difficult seasons and wondering whether God still has a plan for you. Again, God has a promise that he hasn't forgotten you. Doesn't mean things are going to be easy, right? Doesn't mean it won't be difficult, but he still hasn't forgotten you. And he's there to pick you up and help you through. Because again, our citizenship isn't here. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we have that hope today. That even if we don't find that hope here on earth, we have that hope in heaven. So we have the hope for that future today. So I encourage you today that if you're having trouble with that today, that you feel that maybe you are in one of those exile times in your life, as we pray this morning, I encourage you to come forward or even pray at your seat to cling on to that hope that God has. That at the end that he's has a plan for all of that. So I encourage you this morning while we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you still have amazing plans for us. That Lord, even in our times of being separated from you or being separated from others or being separated from just not knowing what the plan is, Lord, May we again find our hope in you. Lord, again, we live in a world that seems so hopeless. That, Lord, sometimes we forget about the hope that you have for us. The promise of the good that you have for us, Lord. And Lord, even if we may not see it, Lord, you promise it. And Lord, may we cling on to that promise that you have for us, that you have a plan that's good for us, that will prosper us. Lord, sometimes hope is all that we have, but Lord, thank you for that hope. And thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who fulfilled that hope that we have to one day be with you. Whether we leave this world by death or we leave this world by you coming back to take us, Lord. Whatever it may be, Lord, we know that we have a hope of eternity with you if we surrender ourselves to you. And Lord, I ask that today as well, as if there's someone here that needs to just surrender their life to you, I ask that they would surrender that today. Lord, I don't want anybody to miss that opportunity to spend eternity with you. And Lord, I ask that you would just help us as a congregation to come alongside each and every one of us, each and every person here, that we would disciple each other, that we would lift each other up and be there for each other, Lord. Because we're all in this together, Lord. We're not called to do this alone. And Lord, we ask that you would just bless us today. And Lord, I ask that you would be with all the people gathering here in Willard today at Hope Fest, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you would just touch some hearts today. That you would change some hearts today as well, Lord. And Lord, may us as a congregation and be a light down there as well. May we love on people, pray for people while we're there, and show them God's love as well. Lord, be with us as we go from here. Bless us and keep us safe, Lord. And Lord, allow us just to share your love and your grace with everyone around us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed.